Let's just go into the show. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. You can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday, and the dawn of resistance itself is on the line. Hey, Maggie Dawn, the corporate counsel of Milwaukee County. How you doing?
Earl, I'm well. Thanks for having me, and thanks to Kelvin for hooking me up via Zoom here today, doing a new format.
Yeah. So where is you?
Where is I? I is in the zona of the Airy. I'm in Arizona. The arid desert area of our country. Funny that, you know, Dave from Mequon was just talking about that. But I'm up in the Tucson environs, up in the canyons and mountains, which is really beautiful.
You know, we got a lot to talk about, but I want to go back quickly just for a moment. You heard my last guest and Dave, who called in and disagreed with just about all the things that basically that we were talking about. What's your response to what Dave had to say?
I just don't get it.
In the last 2 minutes of an hour, interview.
I don't get it. What is Dave's solution, policy suggestion, etc.? Does Dave understand that homelessness is that we don't eliminate homelessness or joblessness if we get rid of illegal immigration? Does he even know what illegal immigration is? Does he understand what works and what doesn't in the current immigration system? Dave's ancestors, I don't think, are Native American. So,
no.
Yo, Dave, your folk were immigrants too. I've always heard, and your excellent guest was indicating that there's been a conflation on the right of a lot of these issues. And Dave's sort of gratuitous citation to black unemployment
Really?
So now you care about black people, Dave. Okay, that's cool. You care about black people and you'll invoke black people when you want to exile immigrants and talk crappily about immigrants. So I get it. You'll pit minority groups against one another. That's a really healthy dynamic. Again, the whole point here is the immigration problem is indisputable. Beautiful. And when I say immigration problem, I mean we have a system that doesn't work. We have a labor need that is served by these people. If people think inflation is bad now, you close a border, you stop immigration, you refuse or you prosecute and lock up every person that's here illegally. You think inflation is bad now. You think your eggs cost a lot of money now. Wait until you try that. You talk to Wisconsin farmers. They will tell you that they need seasonal immigrant labor. And they will not say that every single person that's working in their fields
is
and
legal.
On their farms is here legally,
right?
Because they're not. The reality is that we need these people in our economy, and it's high time that we start acknowledging our shared humanity and our shared history with immigration and immigrants.
So here's where I want to go right away. I was listening to some commercials on conservative talk radio this morning, and there is just a horrifically nasty and horrible commercial that I heard on one of the stations this morning about Judge Janet Protasiewicz and what she is going to allow. It was, every bit of it was just a flat-out lie and to terrify people. We saw this with Mandela Barnes. We saw this.
I was just
going to
say it's the Mandela playbook,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And I mean, and so people would stoop so low, you know, and because they understand that right now at the rate things are going, their guy Dan Kelly may lose. So they're pulling out all the stops now. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be. It's flat out lies. We're going to terrify people. Your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. So let's summarize the right's critique of Janet Protasiewicz. allegedly per an estranged stepson, right? Oh, yeah. She used the N-word
yeah.
30 years ago. So they're like, oh, black people, you shouldn't like Janet. She apparently pushed
beat up.
This elder, right? Yeah. So like, if you're old, you can't like Janet. She loves criminals and just wants to like release criminals out into, you know, our communities. So if you are anti-crime and pro public safety, you can't vote for Janet. I mean, it's literally as if they picked the things that are most likely to incense and infuriate, right? The next thing that they're going to run an ad is she hates Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks and doesn't support any local sports. And, right, like, it's sort of the Obama birth certificate equivalent for right. Janet Protasiewicz, right? All of this is nonsense. The question is, Dan Kelly, how many criminals have you ever put behind bars and sentenced? Answer, zero. Janet, how many folks have you prosecuted? Hundreds, as a frontline prosecutor who handled felonies. How many folks have you sentenced to significant multi-decade long sentences while you sat in felony in some of the most difficult rotations that a judge can see? Hundreds of people. That is the reality. Absolutely no judge, no matter how conservative they are, will ever have a perfect record on if you're a sitting member of the judiciary. That's why someone like Dan Kelly can spout off nonsense like I'm a constitutional conservative, which has zero meaning other than apparently his affinity for racists, insurrectionists, and those who say that murdering doctors who perform birth-related and pregnancy-related care, read abortions when the mother's life is at risk or the child has severe birth abnormalities. That, you know, that's who Dan Kelly aligns with. That is not Janet Protasiewicz's problem, nor are those legitimate criticisms of her. The way I like to summarize it, if you look at the two op-eds that have run in the last like 2 days, one was an op-ed in support of Ms. Protasiewicz, Judge Protasiewicz, and one today was against. The woman who wrote the op-ed in the Journal Sentinel, supporting Janet Protasiewicz and concluding that Dan Kelly is unfit to serve on the Supreme Court, is a current sitting Milwaukee Circuit Court judge who is the daughter of the conservative former, frankly, Republican Chief Justice of the state Supreme Court, who they're running to replace. This is the daughter of Justice Patience Rogensack, a traditional conservative, Republican-supported former Chief Justice of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Her daughter, also a judge, says Dan Kelly's unfit. That is a conservative judge saying Dan Kelly is unfit. The response from the conservative side of the coin today in the JS is some no-name lawyer from Cedarburg. I think that kind of says it all, right?
You know, Maggie, I was, again, listening, and I heard them say, a conservative talk show host, well, we've got to do something. I don't generally tell people who to vote for, but you've got to go out and vote for Dan Kelly. You have to, because if Janet Protasiewicz becomes the Supreme Court Justice, they're going to do away with Act 10, because She was the person who, and she should recruit herself. Well, what's the word? How do you say
it? You got it. We all know what you're saying, Earl. Yeah, we got you.
But because I'm you know, I'm all excited. You and I haven't done.
Yeah, you get heated.
And so she should recruit herself from that, and she's not going to do it because. And that's wrong, because she was in protest marches and she was in these kind of things. Well, they're trying again. They realize what most of us realize. Dan Kelly is, we know who and what he is, right? He was there once before. The record is clear on what he's done, who's bought and paid for him, and that he's really nothing more than a hustler. That's the best they could come up with. He's a horrible candidate.
Well, and he shouldn't even be close. And Judge Protasiewicz has come out and said, I will consider recusing myself if and when a case involving right. Act 10 comes before me. Well, that is a sight better than Dan Kelly's complete refusal to recuse himself if anything involving the Republican Party of the state of Wisconsin comes up. It is not an equal playing field. These are not people of equal integrity. And Janet is being held accountable to those things and is willing to discuss recusal. She's already stated that she would recuse from anything involving the Democratic Party. Mr. Kelly, what do we hear from your side? Oh, yeah, that would be crickets yeah. because you won't do the same thing.
You know, and the fact that I would never, as a talk show host, come on and tell people, you need to vote for Janet Protasiewicz. You know, even though I support her. What does it say about people that they come on and try to tell the people who they need to vote for, as if the people themselves don't have their own minds and can't make decisions based on what they believe to be the truth? So you slander, again, this rag called, what's the name of it? That newspaper. Wisconsin Right Now. If you know anything at all about the woman who writes it, and
that's not journalism. No. It's just a series of opinion pieces, sort of like it's like faux news, right? Like, right. Oh yeah, we do. We have got a news side. We got an opinion side. No, you don't. It's all opinion. This is what we do on the air. Somebody asked me, you know, when you go on the radio, what are you doing? I said, giving my opinions about things. That's what it is.
Right.
It's not a news program. We're providing opinions and people are free to dispute them and debate. But, you know, it's opinions. That's Wisconsin Right Now is not objective journalism by any stretch. I don't even think they could say that with a straight face. And listen, there is money coming in to this state, pouring in from all sides. The E-lines alone have put in $5 million. Yes, Janet Protasiewicz has received millions from liberal donors. But that's the same. Like,
the
it's the same all around.
It's
Republicans are just ticked because they haven't gotten as much money.
Listen, we got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. At 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. The Dawn of Resistance is on the line and all is well in the world. You know, Maggie, I know I play the best music. I know.
You sure right? do.
I mean,
you can't cut that off until you hear that first after the love is gone.
I know. It's what, you know, and I have to deal with all the different songs trying to make it to where you hit that first part. But anyway, let's go back.
Oh,
we got Tom from LA on. Hey, Tom, what's going on, man?
First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second is I do not want to see Janet Justice. I do not want to see her get into this thing where she is recusing herself from issues that really affect the people of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The Democratic one is fine. But Janet Prosewicz should be coming back and saying, okay, Dan Kelly, tell me exactly how you would rule on Citizens United in terms of a case. Because I'll tell you what, he wants money in politics. She doesn't want money in politics. She's just doing it as a necessary evil right now to get elected. But I do not want to see her. And honestly, I have to say my money will dry up in terms of giving to her if she starts going and starts recusing herself from cases that are very, very important, to the people of Wisconsin.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. You want to respond?
Yeah, I think just really important to note, I think it would be acceptable to ask either of those those candidates, what their views of the impacts and constitutional reasoning in the Citizens United decision. You cannot ask a judicial candidate to sort of say what they would do on a particular case. I think that may be some of the careful consideration that Judge Janet Protasiewicz has to give in the Act 10 case, given how very clear her opinions have been on that topic. Judicial ethics are not entirely simple. And recusal rules are also, as we are experiencing, public opinion of any court, including the federal Supreme Court, as well as our state courts, has declined. I think what this speaks to is, one, a lack of shared understanding about what triggers recusal, what's permitted in campaigns, right? And that begs for an independent body that sets those rules, that sets them clearly, and an independent body that reviews recusal requests that are made by parties appearing before a court. That is the only way, in my opinion, to restore any kind of judicial integrity back to begin the long and slow process of restoring public faith in the judicial branch of government. Again, I say we need clear recusal rules, clear campaigning rules that should be set and enforced by an independent body so that all parties feel like their cases will be heard fairly.
Let's go to Jean from McClure. Good morning to you, Jean. Quickly, you say what?
Oh, good morning. That's an excellent idea, and I don't know how we get these ideas to be heard by somebody that can do something about it, because I think that's just right on. Yeah, I want to thank you guys for talking about these ads. We've been getting bombarded on my side of the state, and they're ugly.
Yeah, they're really
ugly.
You
know what? They make me want to just get out there on the spot and vote for Janet Protasiewicz because I don't want no lying scumbag who puts on the TV about children forced to do oral sex on a perpetrator. I was so ticked. I called the station and said, what are you running this garbage for? And they said, there's nothing we can do about it. So I wish there was. Thanks, guys. Great topic. Love you,
yeah.
Guest down there.
Yeah, Maggie.
Thank you.
You know, Maggie, Corinna, we'll get to you after the break. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. My guest is the Dawn of Resistance herself, Maggie Dawn, Corporate Counsel of Milwaukee County, and my friend. We'll be right back. can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is the Dawn of Resistance herself, Ms. Maggie Dunn, Corporate Counsel of Milwaukee County. Let's go to the phone lines and Karina. Good morning to you, Karina. You say what?
Hi. Good morning, everybody. Well, you guys were talking about the advertising and comparing the previous race with Mandela. And honestly, I never can understand why that the Republican Party is capable of producing such a lie on the TV. And the Democratic Party is quietly saying, "Oh no, we are right. No, we are good. This is why we not doing the same thing, but to be more aggressive in terms of actually showing who this man is." And besides the point that he is not even qualified for a job. I mean, he supported everything what is wrong right now for the past 4 years happened with Trump and advocated for everything what a normal person would stay against of. And we've been, basically, it sounds like we are pacified. The Democratic Party are pacified, saying, "Oh, no, Janet is great." But you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I think we look weak with Mandela with the same thing.
Hey, Karina, I wish we had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Maggie, you get the point. She many people have said the Democrats won't fight back, you know, and they take all this incoming. And you know, the Democrats who somehow believe that we shouldn't have to stoop to the same level. Your thoughts?
Well, I forget who it was. I think it was a black elected official from like Tennessee or Virginia, and he sort of riffed on the Michelle Obama, "When they go low, we go high."
Right.
He's like, no. When they go low, let's like beat them.
Yep.
You know, I'm with that, brother. So I actually think that in contrast to Mandela's campaign, there has been much more pointed attack ads that have come from issue advocacy groups in support of Janet.
No question.
I think there have been many more ads that effectively rebut what is being put out by the Republican side. I've seen a few myself that specifically actually say, "Dan Kelly and his supporters say this, that's false," and then provide the response. I think, you know, this last, what do we got, 6-7 days until we're there, 6 days until the election on the 4th, you're going to see a deluge of that. I think it's gotten better in this cycle. I think Janet's been more, and her supporters have been more on the attack, but always to do better. I think they can get more pointed and more aggressive.
So, Maggie, I hate to interrupt you, but here's, in the time that we have left, I really want to hear your thoughts on this, the horrific shootings that took place in Tennessee. And I'm hearing conversations about the fact that this person was LGBTQ, and as if that had some bearing. And I'm not hearing people ask the questions why any person can buy 7 weapons, right? I mean, the issue is not the person was LGBTQ Republicans. The issue is, how can somebody go out and buy 7 weapons in a short period of time, and there is nothing to let people know that one person is buying all these different weapons? Shouldn't there be some checks and balances in that, Maggie, that a person can go into all these different stores and buy as many weapons as they want, and that doesn't raise a red flag?
Yeah, this is a really disturbing incident because of the minimal facts that we know to date about the shooter, that the person was under mental health treatment.
Right.
We don't know any of the particularities there, that their parents, believed that the person had gotten rid of their guns, that their parents with whom this person lived did did not believe that their adult child should possess firearm. We have to first acknowledge that this is, by my rough count, approximately the 130th mass shooting of 2023, and it occurred on the 87th day of the year. I want to just say that again, approximately the 130th mass shooting in the United States in 2023, wow. And it was the 87th day of the year. That means that we are seeing almost 1.5 mass shootings a day in our country. And here was the response of a Republican representative of Tennessee by the name of Tim Burchett, in response to questions about gun regulations. Quote, "We're not going to fix it because criminals are going to be criminals." We're not going to fix it because criminals are going to be criminals. So I'd like everybody out there in the listening audience to know that this man, who is a part of the Republican Party, believes that we shouldn't bother policing because criminals are going to be criminals, that we shouldn't bother enforcing immigration laws because criminals are going to be criminals and they're going to come here anyways. That is the most ridiculous, irresponsible, soulless, and humanity obliterating statement I have heard from an elected official on this topic.
Heard some bad ones.
Correct. Yeah. It is disgusting in the extreme. This is also the Einstein that compared what is occurring in our schools in terms of school shootings to what his father experienced in World War II. And my response is, yes, going to elementary school should not be an actual war zone. And it's, I don't know how people can continue to return to these talking points. The gun lobby has probably been the single most effective lobby in the history of the United States in terms of preventing any meaningful legislation. Can any person that has two active gray cells in their brain to rub together actually make an argument that assault weapon bans should not be part of what we're talking about? I'm sorry. It just, people that want to defend the Second Amendment by saying that we can't ban assault weapons do not deserve to be heard by anyone. It is an absurd proposition. We can talk about the complexities of doing so. That's fine. Tough stuff, challenging things are hard, but this is not a complicated question. Should we ban assault weapons? Yes, it might be difficult, but that doesn't mean that we don't talk about it. The fact that this person apparently may have been transgendered is entirely beside the point, except to the extent that what we have in our country is a virulent strain of two things that are occurring. That is continued vilification and demonization of the other, led by people like Tucker Carlson. When he says that we have an apocalyptic existential war, that Christians are at war with transgendered people, do you think that helps or hinders or makes more likely the next mass shooting? I would argue that statements by people like Tucker Carlson make those things more likely. It's not endemic to anyone who is trans that is more likely to commit a mass murder or go on a shooting spree. But the twin problems that we're dealing with is this continual vilification of the other on moral grounds by the right, combined with an utter disregard for the humanity of those that suffer with mental illness and the complete lack of mental illness support and healthcare in this country. Those two things put together create and are sort of the petri dish in which these sorts of things can occur. And until we start to understand that access to mental health care should be a human right that every American can obtain at a reasonable cost, we are going to continue to see these problems. But the answer isn't to go, oh, it's just all about mental health.
You know, Maggie, to hear somebody say we're at war with any American, they'll be right. GTQ, black, whatever. It ought to tell you something about why are you at war with another American citizen? Based on what? Well, we're Christians and we don't believe in their way of life. Well,
yeah, this is Tucker Carlson. He said the transgender quote acceptance movement is leading towards a violent conflict with quote traditional Christianity. It is the mirror image, the opposite of Christianity, and is therefore its natural enemy.
You know,
it's this language that leads to what's happening. It's the Tucker Carlsons of the world, not acceptance of others who may have different choices and different beliefs
so
than
us.
So
they talk about culture wars, right? Who's creating the culture war?
This is the whole point, Earl. Yeah, yes. I talk about it all the time as cultural and political gaslighting on a systemic level. It is literally everything that conservatives accuse liberals of. It is what conservatives are doing. If you want to point out on either the left or the right, one single policy that has caused the most harm to Americans, it is the right's blind support of gun rights. That has killed and harmed more Americans than any other policy debate we could possibly have. And yet Tucker Carlson somehow wants to lay this at the feet of LGBTQ plus people and transgendered folks. Only an idiot or, frankly, someone with suspicious motive who wants to scare the heck out of people would say such a thing.
And you can say, to even say LGBTQ people, when you talk about that 130 or however many mass shootings has already been, how many of them are LGBTQ? So to point out one instance, that should raise a red flag to anybody with any common sense that, okay, if as many shootings as have occurred and will occur, they're going to reach every demographic that there is because so many people are being murdered and assassinated. And at the root of it all is the weapon. It's the gun. Again, this person was able to buy 7 weapons inside of a short period of time, and that's legal. So what they say is, well, she bought them legally. So what?
Right, so change the laws so that someone like that cannot buy guns illegally, so that it sets off a red. That's what, listen, we talk about red flag laws and assault weapons bans. I'll start with assault weapons bans. Again, the most common sense thing on the planet, is it easy? No. But is it an obvious and simple answer? Yes. Red flags law, same thing. Does the NRA oppose it? Both of those things? You bet. Do people like Tucker Carlson line up shoulder to shoulder with the NRA? You bet. Which state in the union has some of the loosest gun regulations in the United States? Tennessee and Texas.
Right.
It's going to continue to happen. Uvalde and this shooting now in Nashville.
Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Maggie Dawn, the Dawn of Resistance. And, you know, I think the conservative callers are afraid when you're on. We'll be right back.
But Benny and the Jets.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Maggie Dawn, the Dawn of Resistance herself. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Curtis from West Dallas. Hey, Curtis, good morning. You say what, sir?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Maggie. I really miss her show, Maggie Dawn of Resistance.
Well, you know, we don't know what the future holds, but I think it's going to be pretty bright. Go ahead.
But I have a question for Maggie. You know, I was listening to the news the other day, and they were saying the only way that this is ever changed is if we actually get out there and start protesting like they did before, and you have to protest, like, nonstop, like, you know, like once a week or once every day or something, because otherwise nobody's going to ever change nothing, because you can kill all the kids. It doesn't make a difference. They don't, you know, it's like they don't care anymore. But I have a question for Maggie, though. Maggie, what do you think of Waukesha? No more rainbow in the kindergarten. Did you hear about that?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I sure did, Curtis. Yeah, I sure did.
Go ahead.
I have a song for Waukesha. It's called Lola. They should play it in all the kindergarten classes. You know the song Lola?
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, amen. Thank you. Let's let Maggie respond. Maggie, let the people know what he's talking about. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'll break a little news with you, Earl. On civic media here. So I will be returning regularly to the airwaves in May.
All right. I knew it was coming.
It was coming. So I think it's going to be called the Maggie Dawn Show. We're gonna keep it real simple. It's going to be on every weekday, Monday through Fridays from 6 to 7 here in Central Time. Really looking forward to that. My big props and shout out to Sage Weil, CEO of Civic Media, and Mike Crute, the president and operating manager, for figuring this out with me. I obviously have a pretty rigorous 9-to-5 job, so it's been a work in progress to figure out how to do this. So I'm really appreciative and really excited to be returning. So look forward to that. It should be a ride, that's for sure. But Curtis, let's talk about a couple of your points right away. I think when it comes to both gun laws and protecting the innate dignity and humanity and lifting up people that are different than cisgendered, white, heteronormative men that might own land is probably going to daily to weekly protesting is going to be necessary, because apparently schools across the country, their answer to complexity in our culture is to not tell our kids about it, which, you know, that works when you just don't talk about it with your kids. I'm sure they won't hear anything about it anywhere else, right? I mean, the premises of these sorts of book bans and the CRT bans, by the way, nobody teaches CRT in any grade schools, middle schools, high schools. That's a college level, graduate sort of level of analytical critical review. it's just stupid. An epitome of such stupidity was the fact that I believe a second grade class in the Waukesha public school system was going to sing a song, I think that's called The Rainbow or something like that, that was a joint song put out by Dolly Parton, America's sweetheart and darling, and Miley Cyrus, that talks about accepting and loving one another and embracing our neighbors, which I think there's a commandment about that in the Bible somewhere. But apparently, because it's either Dolly Parton or Miley Cyrus, or it's a new song that's not sung by a frog, that's not okay. And indeed, what they've opted for instead is Rainbow Connection, sung by a frog, which espouses the precise same values that song does. So now we're discriminating about message depending on who's speaking, which is a literal violation of the First Amendment. You cannot discriminate based on message under the First Amendment if you're a government actor, nor can you discriminate on the basis of who happens to be saying said message. What a shame for Waukesha Public Schools. The kids loved this song. It's super catchy. They were all thrilled about singing this. They don't know that adults might not like Miley Cyrus. They just wanted to sing a fun song at their recital. So instead of, you know, letting kids express love and acceptance for neighbors and each other in a new pop song. Yes, let's just kill all that youthful excitement for love and love and acceptance, and make them sing the Kermit the Frog version.
You know, Maggie, it is just the people don't even give it a second thought. Their thing is, well, gay people like the rainbow, and so they attribute everything to, we're going to stop those LGBTQ people.
And it's just, it's foolishness.
Yeah.
That's the only word I can think of. It is foolishness. None of their arguments make any damn sense. I heard just the other day on the same sort of point, school in Florida, yeah, a parent is complaining about lessons that include for, I believe, a middle school classroom, is now complaining about lessons being taught about Ruby Bridges. Oh. So, yeah, now in Florida, apparently Ruby Bridges is now out of bounds because it's uncomfortable. I mean, who said teaching in history should be comfortable? I don't understand any of this other than to say foolishness.
You know, Maggie, the fact that it's gotten as far as it has, and the fact that they call it culture wars, and they've created this us against them a situation, and people buy into that. And then they talk about the flag, right? What the hell are you talking about? And then they talk about, you know, patriotism and all of that. You know, Maggie, yep. We got to go, and I hate that we have to go, but congratulations.
Love you, man.
Likewise, congratulations on rejoining the team. Really excited about it. Bill from Oconomowoc, hang on. We'll get you on the other side. We'll be right back.